Frequency.
Got some frequencies.
Yeah.
But children can be very cruel, you know. And we used to do a very cruel thing coming on towards Christmas. We used to go out with big novelty sticks out through the fields and kill a little bird called the wren. Harmless little thing. And we put the corpse in the middle of a holly bush. And we decorated with ribbons and colored papers and things like that. And then on the day after Christmas, on St. Stephen's Day, we'd blacken our faces and dress up in women's clothes and all sorts of mad things. And go around from door to door singing this song and collecting money for the funeral. And the song that we sang as we went around from door to door was called the Wren Song.
The Wren, the Wren, the king of all birds, since Stephen's day was cutting the furs. Although he was little, his honor was great. Jump up, me lads, and give us a treat. As I was going to kill and all, I met the Wren upon the wall. Whoppity wattle, and knocked him down and brought him into Carricktown.
Crawling, rolling, where's your nest? Is in the bush that I love best. In the tree, the holly tree, where all the boys do follow me.
Whoppity kettle, and down with a pan, and give us a penny to bury the Wren.
I followed the Wren 3 miles or more, 3 miles or more, 3 miles or more. Follow the Wren 3 miles or more at 6 o'clock in the morning.
I have a little box under me arm, under me arm, under me arm. I have a little box under me arm, a penny or tuppence would do it no harm.
Mrs. Lancy's a very good woman, a very good woman, a very good woman. Mrs. Lancy's a very good woman, she gave us a penny to bury the Wren.
Penny to bury the Wren, Mrs. Lancy.
Up the long ladder and down the short rope, to hell with King Billy and God bless the Pope. That doesn't do, we'll tear him in two, we'll send him to hell with his red, white and blue.
You're listening to Waveforms WGXC 90.7 FM. This program is Frequency, and my name is Mayuko. Frequency invites the local community to be inspired by the joy, beauty, and wisdom bird enthusiasts find in the nature of our neighborhoods. Every episode features an interview with local bird people, plus a freeform mix of sounds made by birds and humans inspired by birds. We started today's show with the Wren Song by the Clancy Brothers and Tommy McKim. And I'm talking over music by Manx Folk Dance Society and their performance of the tune titled Hunt the Wren. So there was a little bit of explanation at the beginning of the song by the Clancy Brothers about what this Wren Day is, but which I didn't know actually. And this is from Wikipedia. Wren Day, also known as Wren's Day or Day of the Wren or Hunt the Wren Day, is an Irish celebration held on December 26th, which is St. Stephen's Day in a number of countries across Europe. The tradition consists of hunting a wren, now a fake wren, thank God, but previously a real one, and putting it on top of a decorated pole. Then the crowds of mummers or straw boys celebrate the wren by dressing up in masks, straw suits, and colorful motley clothing. They form music bands and parade through towns and villages. These crowds are sometimes called the Wren Boys. The tradition is closely related to Hunt the Wren on the Isle of Man, and versions may have been practiced across the Anglo-Celtic Isles. So I thought it makes sense for us to listen to Wren songs and learn about this tradition on this show, Frequency, which is all about birds and bird people in the Hudson Valley. But I don't encourage like actual hunting of wren. Also, why does it have to be wren? It's so small, like so tiny. Like, how many wrens can you kill? Even if you try, I even struggle to take a photo of wren sometimes. But
then again, now that I think, they sometimes, they're kind of a bold birds. You know, sometimes they just perch on the whatever, like, handrail or something and singing loud. So maybe it's not that hard to hunt wren. But anyhow, so that's the story. Let's listen to another Wren Day song. This one is called, also called Hunt the Wren. And it's a version. It's a song performed by Sharon Krause, an artist from the UK. And this recording is from her album, Songs for the Twins. Thank you for tuning in. This is Bequency.
Let's go to the woods, said Robin the Bobbin. Let's go to the woods, said Richie the Robin. Let's go to the woods, said Jonathan Young. Go to the woods, said everyone. Why do we go, said Robin the Bobbin. Why do we go, said Richie the Robin. Oh, why do we go, said Jonathan Young. Why do we go, said everyone. To hunt the red, said Robin the Bobbin. To hunt the red, said Richie the Robin. To hunt the wren, said Jonathan Young.
To hunt the wren, said everyone.
Where is he, said Robin the Bobbin. Where is he, said Richie the Robin. Oh, where is he, said Jonathan Young.
Where is he, said everyone.
Sitting in a bush, said Robin the Bobbin.
Sitting in a bush,
said Richie the Robin. Oh,
sitting in a bush,
said Jonathan Young.
Sitting in a bush, said everyone.
How will we get it, said Robin the Bobbin.
How will we get it,
said Richie the Robin. Oh,
how will we get it,
said Jonathan Young.
How will we get him, said everyone. Throw a stone,
said Robin the Bobbin.
Throw a stone,
said Richie the Robin. Oh,
throw a stone,
said Jonathan Young.
Throw a stone, said everyone.
Oh, and now he's dead, said Robin the Bobbin.
Oh, now he's dead,
said Richie the Robin.
Oh, now he's dead,
said Jonathan Young.
Now he's dead, said everyone.
Oh, how should we carry him, said Robin the Bobbin.
Oh, how should we carry him,
said Richie the Robin.
Oh, how should we carry him,
said Jonathan Young.
How should we carry him, said everyone.
Oh, hire a wagon, said Robin the Bobbin.
Hire a wagon,
said Richie the Robin.
Oh, hire a wagon,
said Jonathan Young.
Hire a wagon, said everyone.
And how should we cook it, said Robin the Bobbin.
How should we cook it,
said Richie the Robin.
Oh, how should we cook it,
said Jonathan Young.
How should we cook it, said everyone. Over the top,
said Robin the Bobbin.
Over the top,
said Richie the Robin.
Oh, over the top,
said Jonathan Young.
Over the top, said everyone.
And how will we eat it, said Robin the Bobbin.
How will we eat it,
said Richie the Robin.
Oh, how will we eat it,
said Jonathan Young.
How will we eat it, said everyone.
With our fingers, said Robin the Bobbin.
With our fingers,
said Richie the Robin.
Oh, with our fingers,
said Jonathan Young.
With our fingers, said everyone.
Who come to dinner, said Robin the Bobbin.
Who come to dinner,
said Richie the Robin.
Oh, who come to dinner,
said Jonathan Young.
Who come to dinner, said everyone. The king and the queen,
said Robin the Bobbin.
The king and the queen,
said Richie the Robin.
The king and the queen,
said Jonathan Young.
The king and the queen, said everyone. Eyes of the blind, said Robin the Bobbin.
Legs of the lame, said Richie the Robin.
A crop to the poor, said Jonathan Young. Bones to the dog, said everyone.
House Wren. Carolina Wren.
Noel Akshot gave us Bird on the Wire from All I Have to Say, and we listened to some Wren's field recordings. You know, my I learned from my birding friend from the UK that there's only one Wren over there. And not only that, outside this American continent, the South America and North America, there's pretty much only one wren existing, so it's just called the wren. And technically, it is Eurasian wren, and they live from the UK right across to Japan, all over the world. In the old world, I guess people call it. Japanese call this bird misosazai. Wren is misosazai in Japan. On the other hand, in North and South America, there are 86 species of wren, which I also learned from another birding friend. But we listen to most familiar wrens to us here in the Hudson Valley, house wren and Carolina wren, and the recordings were from Stokes Field Guide to Bird Songs, Eastern Region. So that was the wren stuff, holiday stuff. I started this radio show, Frequency, in January of 2023, so the next episode's gonna be 1 year anniversary. And I opened up my very first episode of Frequency with a track from Words and Silences, which is an album by Brian Hernity that brings together archival recordings by the Cistercian monk and writer Thomas Merton, along with newly composed music by Brian Hernity. And Thomas Merton made these recordings alone in his Kentucky hermitage in 1967 using a cassette tape recorder. And I'd like to close this year 2023 for Frequency with another track from this album. And this track is called Let There Be a Moving Mosaic of This Rich Material, because I feel it really set the tone of this radio program, Bequency, and I feel I've been kind of guided by his words throughout my exploration of this world of birds and bird people doing this radio show. And you will hear this in the track when we listen to it, but Thomas Merton talks about how it's so easy to be one-dimensional, kind of, and say this is right and this is wrong, and that it's a very limited, a very weak approach to reality. And let there be a moving mosaic. Let there be a moving mosaic of this rich material. To renounce more and more the temptation to give definite answers, and to be more and more humble and honest in the search for the relevant material, which may suggest here and there good ideas or possibilities of new approaches. And I felt the interviews I did with biologists for this show, Bequency, were truly the examples of what that idea of let there be a moving mosaic of this rich material, what it looks like in practice in our own neighborhood, in our own communities here in the Hudson Valley. And those conversations with the biologists helped me understand better, I think, the reality of bird conservation and nature conservation efforts in our own neighborhood, and it was just truly inspiring to me. So we're going to listen to Thomas Merton and Brian Hernity. And then I would like to sort of do a little rerun. We'll hear some excerpts from my interview with the biologist. The first one is going to be Anne Bloomfield. She's the field biologist of Hudson Valley Farm Hub in Ulster County. And then Eric Kiviat, the wetland biologist and executive director of nonprofit Hudsonia. So let's listen to Let There Be a Moving Mosaic of This Rich Material from Words and Silences. Thanks for listening. This is Bequency.
May 19th. To my mind, one of the most important books that I've read this year, or have been reading this year, is the Foucault book, Michel Foucault, on Madness and Civilization. A most rich book as far as material is concerned, but also important for many other reasons. First of all, because it nowhere preaches anything. Rather, lets the material speak for itself. Salutary effect on me is to see suddenly how partial and how limited my own preachments are, my own temptations to say that such and such a thing is the cause of such and such a phenomenon, and this is right and this is wrong and so forth. This polarizing is a very limited, a very weak approach to reality, and it's much better, instead of polarizing, to make mosaics of all the material that is there, to take the material as it is, natural and social. Nature against the city, the woods against the city, the contemplative life against the active life, and so forth. All this can be, it has its partial truth, but only partial. and there is no point in getting limited to the partial. It's better to be free and range around. Take your material where you find it. Not pass final judgment on it. Not try to stabilize. Let there be a moving mosaic of this rich material. And perhaps tape can help to do this. To renounce more and more the temptation to give definite answers, and to be more and more humble and honest in the search for relevant material, which may suggest here and there good ideas or possibilities of new approaches. To be able to throw things together and look at them and then let the picture dissolve and let other elements come together.
Okay, so for the next question then. So I've been reading a book called Burning in the Hudson Valley by Catherine Schneider.
Mm-hmm.
She mentioned that the grasslands of the Hudson Valley are not natural. They exist because humans clear the forests for agriculture. So to learn that the landscape we see here now has been shaped by human activity over centuries, it really made me understand how much influence we actually have as a human being. And I thought the lack of such understanding of our own impact can be a source of short-sighted actions, like, you know, even littering. Like, you don't think you matter. What you do matter. Not knowing how much impact you actually have. Also, I'm thinking maybe relate to how so many people feel they are powerless also, that there's nothing we can do about it. So it was really inspiring to read about the process of your very specific approach and the sense of optimism that you wrote on your article that you felt from working with one another. So I wanted to ask you to speak a little about this optimism and where you get it and how you keep it going.
Yeah, it's a great question. And there's a lot there. I guess I'm reminded of a scene from the book Braiding Sweetgrass. That's a great book if you haven't read it, where the author is asking her students something along the lines of, you know, do you think humans can have a positive impact on the land? And I hope I'm getting this right. It's been a while since I read the book, but her students are kind of like, well, no, of course not. Like, look at all of this destruction that humans have caused to the earth, and like how extractive we've been and how damaging. And and then the author is an indigenous person, Robin Wall Kimmerer. She's from, well, she teaches in New York State. Anyway, basically, she's asking her students to imagine a world in which humans do have a good relationship with the land, or even like a beneficial relationship with the land. And she goes on to explain in the book how, you know, humans haven't always been this like extractive, damaging species. Like, there are cultures that still exist and times in our history where people did have a positive impact on the land and a different kind of relationship to the land. And so, yeah, step one is imagining that it's possible. Imagining that it's even possible to think about things differently, and thinking, like, how do we get there? How do we put our wisdom together to, like, get where we need to go? I was just talking to my coworker Andrew Kasner this morning, that works in the field crops team here, and we're talking about how we have some crops planned for some fields here at the Farm Hub, where some of the timing of the activities to grow small grains are not super compatible with the nesting season for turtles. And so, yeah, you could say, like, oh, this is a terrible idea. Like, we can't have this crop here. It's going to be terrible for the turtles. Or, like, there's nothing that we can do. But if instead you kind of, like, flip that narrative and say, like, okay, this is the crop that's going to be here. Like, this is the situation we have. You have your knowledge. I have mine. This is when the turtles are going to be nesting. Like, what can we do? And sometimes it's really hard, like, keeping your optimism going when we live in a world where there's a biodiversity crisis and a climate crisis and all these things, habitat loss. And yeah, I'm not here to pretend that I am optimistic all the time, but I am, like, for the field of study that I'm in, I feel like surprisingly optimistic. And it's a great question. I don't honestly know where it comes from, because a lot of the news about wildlife, especially birds, insect-eating birds and grass-eating birds, and the declines we're currently seeing in habitat loss is, like, very depressing. But yeah, if we don't have our optimism, like, what do we have? What, we're just going to stand by and say, like, well, I guess there's nothing we can do. Like, that's terribly depressing. So yeah, all we can do is imagine and believe there's a different way, and work together and fight hard to get there. And I think sometimes we underestimate here at the Farm Hub how just, like, demonstrating how we work together that way seems powerful to people. Like, I think we sometimes don't notice it here until someone notices it and calls it to our attention. But I do believe that even ecologically, that biodiversity is resilience, whether it's ecological biodiversity or it's diversity of languages or culture or experiences or professions. Like, that makes us more resilient in the face of change. It makes us better suited to overcome challenges. I've been a language learner here at the Farm Hub. I started almost 8 years ago. I'm not fluent in Spanish yet, but I'm getting there. And yeah, just like being able to break down barriers, whether it's like language or your knowledge of farming or any of these things, it's just, at least in the context of ecology, and I feel like anything else, is just so powerful. And if we just stay in our little bubbles and only think about, you know, our experience, we're missing a lot. Like, there's a lot that we're not seeing or hearing when we don't kind of like push ourselves to break down some of those barriers. So yeah, I suppose that's a long answer. I don't know where my optimism comes from, but I think it has something to do with that.
I mean, I think that just means you're doing real work here.
Yeah.
So that was an excerpt from my interview with Anne Bloomfield, the field biologist of Hudson Valley Farm Hub. Next, we're going to hear an excerpt from my interview with Eric Kiviat, the wetland biologist and executive director of Hudsonia. This is Bequency on Wave Farms WGXC. Thanks for listening.
I think I came across one of the reports you made, that Hudsonia made, through the news in, I think, 2022, that Ancrum had one landowner there was going to, well, they proposed the development plan of a resort.
Hmm.
The town was against, well, some members of the town were against this idea, saying that one of the concerns that they raised were, how would it affect the water resource? Mm-hmm. A lot of people using wells, yeah. And also the habitats of wildlife there, that there are a lot of meadowlarks and bobolinks, and those ground nesting birds are often in Ancrum. And so those specific information were all put together, and I think the group from the town presented all this information. And so I kind of became more curious, since I moved upstate, like, how do people like me, who's not, don't have a background in natural science or anything, can have the understanding, some information, so we can collectively decide what our community wants to do or what our town wants to do. How do I want to vote? I mean, I actually cannot vote because I'm not a citizen yet, but at least I can voice my opinion. And to have an opinion, you need information. And so
we want you and other members of the community to have better information, because often in land use decisions and controversies, one side, often the side that is going to make money from a development project or a mining project or warehouses or something, has the ability to hire consultants and lawyers and, you know, engineers and so on. Whereas the planning board and the citizens may not have that ability. So one of the functions of Hudsonia is not to take sides, but to go into a situation and study what's there and analyze the project that's proposed and the kinds of impacts that it may have on a particular location, and to give everyone that information. You know, it's not just this side or that side. The information's out there for everyone.
Right.
And we think that leads to better decisions for the long-term future. And even if you or a planning board member, for example, can't have the knowledge to, you know, to analyze the biology of a situation, we hope at least that our work will allow you to ask the right questions and to decide if you need an expert to help you.
Right.
You might not, but it certainly in some situations that's a good idea.
The track we just heard was Winter Birds by Tor Lundvall from an album titled Insect Wings, Leaf Matter, and Broken Twigs, Early Ambient Recordings, 1991 to 1994. And before that, we heard two excerpts from my Frequency interviews from 2023. The first one we heard was Anne Bloomfield, the field biologist of Hudson Valley Farm Hub, which aired on March 2023 episode, and Eric Kiviat of Hudsonia. The interview aired in September of this year. And I hope you found it as inspiring as I did. The one in the Eric Kiviat interview, I find it really, what interesting to me was that, you know, let's not so focus on having definite answers right from the beginning, but it's also very important to ask the right questions then you can, you know, kind of borrow other people's wisdom and you can get help to find the right thing in that particular situation. And the tricky thing about life is that the right thing to do, really, like, it always depends. I mean, there are certain things. I mean, it's always this, what do you call that, like a tug of war sort of thing. But there are many local situations which requires different actions and different decisions, and you know, that's the difficult, that's the challenge and interesting thing about the life, I guess, that there's no definite answer in most of the cases, like Thomas Merton said. That's just the reality of life. And so that was it. You can listen to their full interviews at bequency.tumblr.com. Bequency. Beak. Bequency is beak and frequency. So just bird beak. UENCY.tumblr.com. And you can listen again, both of the full interviews and all the archives of this show, Bequency. I hope you enjoyed the interviews. I'm gonna play a few bird-inspired music released this year in 2023. I'm taking a little break from doing an interview this month. Every month, I feel like speaking with bird people is so interesting that I have a hard time editing the interview. Like, we talk a lot most of the time, and really hard to keep it short. And then as a result, I lose time to play music. And so I wanna do a little bit more of that today. And we're gonna hear a song called Birds of Spring by Simon Joyner with Michael Krasner and Fred Longberg Holm, released this month. An album is titled This Is Where the Ocean Begins. So, and we're gonna hear a few more brand new bird related stuff came out this year. So stay tuned. This is Bequency on WGXC.
Thank you. down in Georgia come this May. Maybe we're bound to kiss some coastline and say farewell to these haunted plains. I've got a locket with two faces faded, hanging in a frozen attic. One is doubtful and one is sacred, lost and saved in silhouette. Watching the robins all go wrong, forsaking their young just for a song. Hallelujah to the birds of spring, hallelujah to their offerings. Hallelujah to the heart that burns, that breaks and heals and never
pigeons. It's rather people pretending to be pigeons, I guess. Ekka Mordecai and Malvern Broom gave us that track, Pigeon Tones for Egg Flute. And I played it off of a compilation titled Synthetic Bird Music, which came out in 2023 from MAPA record label based in Slovakia. 32 artists participated in this compilation that is inspired by, I guess, birds. But I think this one was my favorite. It's hard to pick when there's 32 tracks, but Pigeon Tones for Egg Flute was what we heard. Mike Cooper gave us Red Jungle Fowl, The Dream Island of Birds was the album title. And we heard Birds of Spring by Simon Joyner, Michael Krasner, and Fred Lomberg Holm from another brand new album. This is where the ocean begins. You've been listening to Bequencing, and I have been Mayuko. I'm here every fourth Saturday of the month at 11 a.m. Eastern Time. And in the January 2023 episodes, actually, 2024, the new year, the brand new year. Anyhow, next month, I'll be speaking with Dr. Bill Cook, professor and curator of the Columbia Green Community College Natural History Museum, and Chris Franks, the organizer of the upcoming show at the museum, some events where they will be sharing the museum's ornithological collection. And it's happening in February, so we're going to talk about, like, what is this event all about in my January show of Bequency. So I hope you come back and join me again next month. It's going to be on Saturday, 27th, in 2024. Coming up next here on Wavefarms WGXE is The Countdown, produced by Tom Rowe, counting down 10 new sounds, stories, or songs, American Top 40 style. Usually the top 10 is recent songs, but sometimes there are thematic countdowns or local music themed show. So I hope you stick around. And I have like a little bit time left, so I'm going to play one last track. Another new release of 2023 by Jim Denley and the Eternally Orchestrating Sonoverse. This is from With Weather Volume 2, Gadigal Country. That's the album title, and the track we're going to hear a little bit of it is Currawong Teepee. Came out from Spillwreck record label based in Australia. Jim Denley plays flute, voice, Gumnut, plus avian, mammalian, arboreal, amphibian, industrial, and elemental music kin. That's what we're gonna hear next. And that'll be it for my show today. Thanks for listening. Happy holidays and happy Wren Day to everyone. And may your birding be filled with joy and rare sightings next year. I hope to see you again in January.